Good evening. That's kind of weak out there. You're all spread out. I don't know where to go. And I know the danger of asking you to move from your seat. You know that that's how pastors know when you're missing, is because you always sit in the same seats, you know. That's the way it works, you know. So if I ask everybody to move, then everybody gets upset. So we're just going to leave you where you are, okay? Did everybody get a bulletin? Oh, come on over. Everybody get a bulletin? All right? The order of service is in there, and of course it'll be on the screen also. During this Lenten season, we're going to talk about symbols of Lent, symbols that were a part of Jesus' death and suffering for us, and kind of apply how that fits into our lives. And tonight, as you see on the cover, we're going to talk about the 30 pieces of silver that Judas was paid to betray Jesus, and talk a little bit about what was going on there and how that applies to our lives. So we welcome you this evening, and a little bit later in the service, being Ash Wednesday, we're going to ask you who want to come forward to have ashes imposed on you, and we'll tell you about that a little bit later. So let's begin with a traditional Lenten hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane. Make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me as we pray? Almighty God, in the words of that hymn, we reviewed briefly what we are going to encounter during the next 6 weeks and the culmination at Easter. Open our hearts to receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Show us our need because of our sin, and show us our Savior. We ask that fervently in the name of Him who died and rose again for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated because I want you to get your Bibles out. The scriptures for tonight are not printed out on the screen. So if you want to follow along, you have to get into your Bibles. And that's really important. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke as it records the death, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And in the words of Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 39, we read our first portion of the Passion of our Lord. Follow along. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the soldiers who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." This is the word of the Lord. Let's join in singing our next hymn, "You Are My All in All," and I pray that you're not just singing words, but that this is true for each one of you.
You are the treasure that I seek. You are my
the ladies sit down, and I want you to get your Bibles out again. The meditation tonight is based upon the 30 pieces of silver. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, that is not presented. We read that a moment ago, that Judas did come out to betray him, but the 30 pieces of silver are not a part of Luke's gospel. So I want to take you to Matthew chapter 26. In a couple of places in the Gospel of Matthew, 26 verses 14 to 16, and then we're going to shift over to chapter 27. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then if you go to the next chapter, chapter 27, this is Matthew's account of what happened after Judas betrayed Jesus. Now, we already read that in the Gospel of Luke, and so let's start with verse 3 in Matthew chapter 27. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. That's kind of a loose translation of the Jeremiah passage, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Let's talk about Judas and the 30 silver coins. If you do some study in the scriptures, 30 silver coins has a value that is pretty low. It's not significantly a lot. Now, today, you probably hear the advertisements on TV, if you really want to make some good investments, buy silver. Well, that wasn't the case back then. In fact, 30 pieces of silver was the value that an owner who had a servant killed by his ox had to pay for the servant, for the slave. 30 pieces of silver was a menial kind of an amount, and it was related, if anything, to being a slave. So start thinking a little bit about that. Remember what the chief priests and elders said when they counted out the 30 pieces of silver? This is what a person was worth back in the Old Testament. And that's what they're talking about here. We don't know what motivated Jesus. All the Gospels record the event of Judas betraying Jesus, but none of them really tell the motive. Let's think a little bit about Judas, and maybe we can come up with a motive, if you will. Judas was kind of the treasurer of the disciples. And if you remember, he was the one that objected to the sinful woman and anointing Jesus' feet with an expensive perfume. And he complained and said, "That's a waste of that money for that perfume." So he had an issue with money. Was he greedy? Maybe. Was he jealous? of Jesus or some of the other disciples who maybe had a more personal role, relationship with Jesus. We don't know what motivated him. It might also have been the fact that Jesus didn't turn out to be what Judas expected him to be. Now, that was true of all the disciples. They thought that when the Messiah came, he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel to all of its glory days like during King David's time. And so maybe Judas was saying, this is not what I expected. And we've got to get this guy out of the lives of the people that were following him. We don't know why he did it, but we know it was for money. Money will buy a lot of things, but there are some things that money won't buy. And the example of Judas for us helps us see that more clearly. In the outline in your bulletin, let's look at what money will not buy. Money won't buy payment for our sins. You know how sin works? And this is what we see in Judas. When we anticipate sin, often there's a feeling of joy, anticipation. What's going to really come out of this? Thinking that it will meet a need that we have. And that's true of most any sin if you want to identify it in the world today. Before it's committed, there's an element of joy and anticipation. But once it's committed, there's remorse. And in Judas's case, the 30 pieces of silver could not pay for his sin. Money will not put an end to sin that goes on paying and paying. It cannot eradicate sin in us. Martin Luther said that there are three elements of sin that are constantly and continually at work against us who live in the world, also us who are believers. Martin Luther said those three enemies are the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh. We all struggle against those. And as we give in to the temptations of any one of those three, there's remorse. Especially when we encounter God's word and his standards for the life he wants us to live. Money will not eradicate the sin that just keeps asking to be paid. If you turn to Romans 6, verse 23, the Apostle Paul talks about the issue of sin in terms of what it pays. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Money won't eradicate the sin. And in this case, the indication of God's word is that sin just keeps paying its wage. And if we allow that to be the dominant in our life, it will keep paying its wage until death, and not only physical death in this world, but death eternally, separated from God forever. And the contrast to the wages of sin being death is the gift of God, what we get as a gift from God, not earned in wages, a life with him forever, eternally. Money cannot eradicate our sin. I suppose there are people of various stripes in our world who like to think that money has a lot of power to get what they want. And there might even be some of those who think that money will get them a right relationship with God. Money won't do it. Judas is also a good example that money won't take you back to the status quo. We don't know what all was going on in Judas's mind, but we do know that after he betrayed Jesus, he had remorse, and he went to the extent of taking the money back, throwing it into the temple, and ending his life. Perhaps he wanted to return to the status quo, hoping that what he had done would be forgotten and overlooked. Suicide is never a fun topic, but here we have it. Judas thought money would be the answer to his needs. But what did really get paid? If you turn to the second page of your bulletin, what did get paid because of what Judas did, because of all the way that things came together and Jesus was ultimately arrested and beaten and suffered and nailed to a cross? What got paid was the sins of the whole world. Nothing that we can do or have can pay the price for our sins. Only God can do that. And he did that in the person of his Son. Sin separates us from God. It's a gap so big that we cannot bridge that gap. It can only be bridged by the death of Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself. What also gets paid is a relationship with Jesus now and eternally for all who believe. A different way of life now, and a life with him in heaven eternally. That's what was paid by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. I said, I hope you sang the song, "You Are My All in All," personally, and not just words because they were on the screen. He must be are all in all. In John chapter 3, verse 18, you have the words that follow John 3:16, which is what we're very familiar with, and maybe even 17, but 18 maybe not quite as familiar. But notice what it says, "Whoever believes in him," Jesus, "is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." There's only one way to have our sins forgiven, and that's by believing in the name of Jesus. It's not just a momentary kind of thing. It's not just the ability to spit out that answer if somebody asks you. It becomes a settled matter of our lives. My trust for a new life now and a place in heaven is Jesus. I don't know how this happens, but when I did my last prep review for what I wanted to share with you tonight, God put in my mind something that happened when I was in high school back in Falls City, Nebraska. Now, I don't know how that works, but it did. And I'll never forget this. I was at the church for a youth meeting. The church youth group was meeting that night, and we were doing some things outside before the meeting began, and the small city hospital was across the street from the church. And there was a young man out walking in the yard. He was probably, you know, late teens or something like that. And so he comes over, and he and I start talking, and he says to me, I said, what are you doing in the hospital? And he said, well, I was in that car that flipped over on the highway north of town last night and landed upside down in the river. And I survived. And then when he knew that I was part of the church and part of the youth group there, he said, and you know, the first words that came out of my mouth when we hit the water was, oh God. And what he was trying to tell me is, that's the first thing I thought of. Well, that's a good thing, but that's not the kind of faith that pays for our sin and assures us of a place in heaven. It's a continual trust, day by day, in Jesus, my all in all. We talk about people who are one thing or another in name only. You've heard that. I won't get political, but you know what I'm talking about. God doesn't want us to be Christians in name only. He wants us to trust in Jesus. The last two verses there are evidence of God's plan and how Judas fit into that plan. In Zechariah 11 and then Jeremiah 19, what you have are what the gospel writer Matthew referred to as the 30 pieces of silver fulfilling a prophecy. And it's not exactly like it is in the gospel, but it's those two verses, and I just want you to be aware of them. They talk about 30 pieces of silver as the value for my life, and how those 30 pieces of silver were used to buy, as in Jeremiah, a field of slaughter, the field of blood, a place where foreigners were to be buried, and the Jewish leaders did not want the money back in the treasury because it was blood money. And so all of this was in God's plan from the beginning. Judas was part of that plan. But the benefit for you and me tonight is, what am I depending on? Am I depending on what I possess, like 30 pieces of silver? Am I depending on my membership in a church? Or am I depending on what Jesus did to pay for my sins and give me a place in heaven? Many of you are in a similar boat to me. I read it just the other day again, and it's a constant reminder. Somebody sent me, you're in the last quarter of your life. Yeah, I know. But when that life is over, my trust, your trust in Jesus is the only hope we have. I want that for me, and I want that for you. Would you pray with me about that? Heavenly Father, keep us from going through the motions whether it's the motions of faith or living for you, let it be genuine. Move us to trust you now and eternally, to pay for our sins, and to trust you for that place in your family now and eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up on the screen tonight, I put a picture that I ran across several years ago. And before we share what we call the imposition of ashes, I just want you to look at the simplicity of the explanation. The ashes remind us that we are sinners. Often the people of Bible times would repent in sackcloth and ashes. That was that acknowledgement of sin. But the ashes in the form of a cross remind us that we have a Savior from that sin. Would you rise and join me as we pray? And after the special prayer, join me in the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, humbly we acknowledge our unworthiness and our sin. Humbly we say we're sorry. We don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes. We just say, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Make that personal for each one of us tonight and enable us to live a new life for you now and look forward to that day when death will be the doorway for our entry into eternal life. Grant us that kind of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Also the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God be above you to bless you, within you to sanctify you, around you to protect you, and before you to guide you. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Let's remain standing and sing Glory Be to Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
next week, the dice and the seamless coat. Join us next Wednesday. Greet someone you haven't met, and I'll greet you at the door.